Sunday, and then Lydia said, well, Mary Jo, how many more chapters do we have? And I said, I looked at the book and I went, oh my gosh, only one more. I should have probably done all three. But so next week when we kick off, we'll finish the book for sure. We'll do the 17th secret, and then I will train on something else because I know that I can get through some of these pretty quickly. So we'll put a new training out there and anyway, but we'll be able to finish, which is great. We will have gone through the entire book, and you guys have all the secrets of Master Prospector, so you need know nothing else. You've got it all, and now it's just about what? Our number one problem is application. So we got to start applying all these great secrets. And I don't know about you guys, but I can tell you through the last, 8 weeks or so that we've been doing this, I've picked up so many things that I've started implementing in my business, and it's just great stuff. I mean, really great stuff. In fact, one of my major trainings today is it came out of this series that we've been doing. It's the training about the three-step process when you meet a brand new person. And remember when we did that, we talked about breaking the ice, and then we talked about becoming a friend. It's about getting into that heart-to-heart communication center. And I think that's been left out by me for a long time. I mean, I kind of do it naturally, but I think it's not that well established in terms of training. We talked about breaking the ice and then transitioning into Manatech. Now it's breaking the ice. Number two becomes becoming that friend, and that is about communicating at heart level, emotionally communicating with a person. And then the third step becomes the transition. And so there's three-step process, and that's just terrific. That whole thing really has changed the way I do trainings today on that issue. And as I rebuild pathway class, I'm building that into it to really, you know, show examples of it, how to do it, and role-playing and stuff. It's just great. It's just a great, great way of helping people be more effective. So anyway, all these are nuggets. All I do is point that out to let you know that there are nuggets in every one of these chapters to support you. Secret 15 is know that something for nothing is usually good for nothing, okay? Know that something for nothing is usually good for nothing. So let's talk about what that means, because that's an interesting title. And it really has to do with we pick up lots of things in our life for free. I mean, we get lots of stuff for free. And one of the main things we get for free is what we feed our brains and what we feed our minds. We pick it up all over the place. We pick it up in media. We pick it up in friends. We pick it up in neighbors. We pick it up at church. We pick it up wherever it is. We're picking up all this stuff that we let feed our brains. And usually when we get something for nothing, it's usually good for nothing. And that's exactly what Kay Lynch is establishing here. So it kicks off the chapter we're talking about, is your glass half empty or half full? And that's the whole famous statement about what is your perspective. And sometimes people have a hard time with the half empty, half full. But half empty is always about looking at what you don't have versus half full, which is appreciating what you do have. And I look at that statement as a statement, do you come from gratitude in your life and how blessed you are, no matter where you are in life, no matter what your plight is, do you have a heart of gratitude? And that's what life should be about for you. Each and every one of us, if we fall outside of that, and it's so easy to get caught up in lack and in scarcity and in I don't have enough and the glass is half empty. In fact, today, when we go through recessions, it's the glass is three-quarters empty. It's not just half, it's three-quarters, Mary Jo. No, it's seven-eighths, in fact. I only have an eighth left of what I had before. On and on and on, we hear this whining, whining, whining. And I don't mean to sound like, you know, the political realm where Phil Graham said we have whiny Americans, but the problem is not that we don't, that we don't have reality out there of things being tough, but the problem is, what is our perspective around it? It's not that we're making up. It's not a mental recession that this country is going through or that we see happening. It's truly happening. But how are we responding to it? And I think that Phil Graham could have said it 10,000 times better than he did, and that's why he's not going to be, you know, treasure secretary under John McCain. Say it the right way. He just made a total misstatement about the reality. I'm going to suggest that I think that we allow ourselves to get caught up in negativity too much, and that's what I mean, that's what Kalin's just talking about. He talked about, he didn't have the current recession to talk about because he wrote this book years ago, but the idea, he talked about the recession we went through in the 90s. In the early 1990s, this country was looking like it was going through a recession because we were losing a ton of our manufacturing facilities, our apparel industry was all going overseas, all these things were going overseas, but there were other industries that were totally, you know, going off the charts, like the technology boom. And so we saw phenomenal growth in certain industries and a total devastation in other ones. And the idea is that some people held on to doom and gloom and other people jumped on the bandwagon with, hey, my glass is half full. I have tremendous gratitude and I'm looking forward to the incredible things that, the opportunities that arise, no matter what the event is. So no matter whether you're going through a recession or a depression or an economic boom, there always are opportunities. It's always a changing environment of opportunities, for depending on how you look at it. And this kind of reminds me of that whole famous saying of, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're always going to be right. So it's about our belief system. Where is your mental state, even today? And one of the things I brought up back in January, I said, hey, we're heading towards a deep recession. I didn't, you know, I wasn't some guru looking at a crystal ball. I could just see what the economy was doing. I saw what's happening in the mortgage crisis, the housing crisis is going crazy. I didn't foresee an oil crisis quite like we've seen. But you knew that was eventually going to happen because the demand was coming out so great. You know, so there are a number of factors that were really clear in the economy and the downturn and the ramifications of that and repercussions in the economy. But the one thing I said back in January to all of you when I did that talk on, you know why network marketing is an incredible boom during recession, is that it was an opportunity for us to really take on going out and marketing our businesses. There are people out there, there are network marketing companies today that are having the greatest growth they've ever had. There are things like Mona V and Zuri, and there's a gas additive products. There are all these things that are taking off. You're hearing about them. I'm hearing about them, so you must be. So why aren't we doing that in Manatech? It's because we're choosing not to. It's not because it's not available to us. It's for some reason you're not out there talking to people about this incredible business opportunity to help them through hard economic times. I just had another incredible meeting on Saturday at my church where some really dynamic people, I'm going to tell you some of the ones I'm really excited about getting involved in the business, they were present at my meeting, and they said, Mary Jo, we want to do this. And they already had gotten involved in Mona V, and it didn't work out for them, and they didn't see any difference on the products, and they said, oh, the marketing plan's so complicated. And he says, I heard you have this plan where you just need to get one a month. And I said, yeah. And he says, we want that. So, I mean, it's great. You just have an opportunity here to really help people. They're all looking, but we're not presenting. And it has to do with our glass being half empty instead of half full. So convert yourself and start presenting a business opportunity to people and do it in a simple fashion. You don't have to do I can. You can do four core. Or you can do creating your futures or whatever, whichever, you know, strategy you want to use in presenting the opportunity, because people are desperately looking. Okay, so it's about belief, but it's your belief has got to be there. And now is a great time, and it's going to continue to be a great time because this economy is not turning around tomorrow or the next week or the next week. That's not what's going to happen. We're going to see some soft times here for probably another 12 months, at least with the housing crisis going on. Another thing, he says, garbage in, garbage out. Kalin's talked about our human minds like a computer. You know, our brain is the hardware, and we pick up software along the way, and the software comes free for us if we allow it. If we allow to pick up things that people just tell us, we hear in the newspaper, the media, we're letting all these influences control our software. That's what we're purchasing it, in quotes. We're getting it for free, but we're buying into it. And when we buy into it, even if it's free, what is it doing to us? It's robbing us of our moving forward. So we're adopting opinions of the world and things out there, and we get uptight about things, we get angry about things, we get frustrated, we show all these negative emotions, and it's like, where are we picking all this stuff up? We want to stay positive and optimistic and stay with those hearts of gratitude, but if we pick up these free opinions everywhere, we get unsupportive opinions, free opinions, negative opinions from people everywhere, and we are now building the software of our brains. So what makes us choose? Why do we choose negative software? And I'm going to tell you, it's more because we're not feeding ourselves the positive side. It's not that you're out there saying, oh, I'm going to choose this for myself. You're not like intentionally choosing it. You're doing it by, I'm going to suggest, a total lack of focus and acknowledgement how important it is that you stay away from that stuff. You have to be intentional to avoid it, if that makes some sense to you. You need to be have intentionality about keeping negative and downward trends and unsupportive opinions out of your way. When people mention those things, say, I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about that. It's not something I want to talk about. So you just stay away from the negativity and say, or you try to take a conversation. Tackle it yourself. Find yourself in those conversations and see how you can move the conversation into positive instead of negative. I remember one of my parents' favorite statements, and all of you could probably recite this just like I can. He says, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. That's what my parents used to say. That's how I was raised. If you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. And maybe that's part of what has caused me to run along this line for the most part of my life. Because I believe that's a truism. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. That's it. So kind of if you have to resort to that, then resort to that as a statement. You could be teaching people a lot of great things. I tend to use that in, you know, with little kids in Sunday school and classes at church. And I just loved it. When they start getting into that stuff, I say, you know what? I learned something when I was a kid about your age. And it goes like this. If you can't say anything nice, you don't say anything at all. And it's just amazing how, I think if I could teach that and we could preach it and teach it and get ingrained in people's lives, we would have an incredible world out there. But we don't. And it's so bad today that, you know, we get accosted with it every day. I mean, these candidates just, I mean, they annihilate each. It's just like I just get disgusted. I don't even want to hear about it. It's like, I don't even want to hear about it. I know how I'm going to vote, and I'm just, you know, I just pray for November to come so that all this stuff can go by the wayside because it's so negative, the negative attacks. And I understand policy differences, but they attack each other. I mean, the stuff that hits the news is just, it just makes me want to vomit because it's lies and it's untruthful. It's just terrible stuff that people say out there. And it's just like, you just want to go, I don't even want to put up with it. But we don't want to get caught up in that. You just avoid it, stay away from it, don't let it influence you, don't let it run your life. Stay positive. So don't take on it. And it's just your neglect. It's mostly our neglect that allows those things to control us. So you've got to be very alert and very aware that media and other people's opinions aren't running your life. They're free, but you're allowing that environment to control your life. So good software, now let's talk about the other side of it. Good software, which is what you want to be feeding yourself, is not free, typically not free. You can have some people in your life that are positive, that are uplifting. Some of you think this Monday call, that's why you love to be on it, because you feel uplifted and motivated, and that's terrific. So some of the good software perhaps is free to you, but that's what you're going to go after. Pursue an environment that's positive, optimistic, going forward, building you up, not tearing you down, and not tearing the rest of the world down. So be around the good software, and you may have to go out and purchase some of that. And that's the idea here, that things that are free a lot of times are usually good for nothing. So hopefully you don't think that way about my Monday call, but typically that's the attitude because you're getting all this stuff that's being feeding you. And if something does not cost anything, how could it not be worth it? In other words, if something doesn't cost anything, if I get something for free, how can it not be worth free? And this is an interesting scenario, and the reason is because the cost is really a cost. There are two types of cost. There's a cost of how I pay for something, and you don't pay for a lot of this stuff you get for free, a lot of this negative opinion, negativity, and unsupportive behavior, and all this stuff that you're accosted with every day. That comes. You're not paying for it, so that's a product cost. That's a cost out of pocket. But then there's this out of potential cost, and that's what he's talking about in this chapter. He's talking about it appears free. In other words, I didn't have to pay for that opinion or I didn't have to pay to be around those negative people, but it's robbing you. So you're losing. And losing your potential is far greater than any dollar that you could ever lose. Losing your potential is far greater than it. Because what you're doing is you're giving up your tomorrow. And I love his statement in his book. He said, there's nothing that's worth the cost of your tomorrow. no matter how easy, how free it is to get today. There is nothing that's worth the cost of your tomorrow. So do not sacrifice your tomorrow. And master prospectors avoid all negative software at all costs. They would rather pay now out of their own pocket because their potential is worth far greater than what their present worth is. And that's how you need to start viewing your life. If you has far greater worth than where you are today, then you're going to start dealing with and grappling with all that negativity that comes your way. Start saying, I'm not paying that cost. I'm not paying that price. It doesn't cost me anything, but I'm not going to lose my potential. I'm not going to give up on my future. I'm not going to get into that complaining, whining. I'm not going to let today control my tomorrow. I'm not going to let what happened yesterday control my what happens Monday or Tuesday. It's not going to control it. Because don't let anything rob you of your tomorrow, because your potential is so great. And that's the whole concept of living from, you know, possibilities of your life. Coming from possibility, not probabilities. Come from possibilities. And master prospectors are always seeking more powerful supportive. So they, number one, they avoid negative software at all costs. At all costs. They'll move away from a negative conversation. They'll move on. They'll stay away from negativity at all costs. And they will always be seeking more powerful, supportive, positive software. So, and that means out-of-pocket costs. So they're going to make investments in themselves. They're going to go to conferences, conventions, meetings, self-development seminars. They buy and read and listen to books, tapes, publications. They're constantly reading, constantly feeding themselves with great stuff. And that's like going to ManaQuest this year. This is what we talked about earlier, going to ManaQuest. That's an investment that you have to make. It's one of those things. You just, it's a cost, yeah. But it's feeding you great stuff. It keeps it revives you. Just like the gal from New York who said, "Wow, it's really a dark area. It's down. I really need to get out of here. I need to get some rejuvenated. I need to get some positive." She knows what she knows. That's exactly what she's saying. It's going to cost me, but I need to feed myself positive software. I've got to build that positive software, so I've got to make that investment. I want to find a, you know, I'm going to try to get there the cheapest way I can. But boy, I'm making the commitment to go because I want that positive software. And you want to get out of the arenas, get away from the environment that's negative for you, get rejuvenated and come back and then try to find and motivate people to step into how you feel and get into that positive mode. So you invest in yourself. You make all those resources. I had somebody, and these investments are great. They last forever. I mean, and then you build it libraries. You notice that says they listen, they buy, they read and listen, they buy tapes and books. And I've built this huge library over the years, and I it's a lending library for anyone, not just my, or they tell people in here in the book to build a library for your downline. And I built my library for anyone. I mean, whoever wants to use it can use it. Huge, but, you know, I even had somebody in my downline just call me, send me an email yesterday. She remembered she went to a national convention a few years back, probably 7 years, but now Marcia Widener. I don't know if some of you remember. She did a great piece on dreams, and I, of course, bought her materials, and they're still in my library. And so this associate's going to come and pick them up today because she said, you know what, I need an attitude fix, and I remember the impact her stuff had on me 7 years ago. And so she's going to listen to Marcia Widener. And that's great, whatever it is. But see, those things stay with you. And you know when you need that attitude adjustment, boy, you just want to get that positive software going. Get your, you know, invest in those, the positive nature of it. And, you know, they also, when he talked about investing in your people, which means what? It means getting your trainings, doing coaching, doing mentoring, you know, whatever it takes to help your people grow and stay in that positive, because you're working on their positive software. You're helping them build positive software. And the last thing he mentioned in this section of the book, chapter, was the concept of don't devalue your products or your opportunity. They sell their products at full retail. Now, I'm not one that does this, but I understand what he's saying here. He's saying that he doesn't just sign people up under the premise that, oh, yeah, become associated with the company so you can get your products at a discount. He says that's cheapening what you have. He takes the attitude that, you know, if people want to sign up, they want to sign up to go and really build a business with this. If you don't want to build a business, then just buy at retail. So maybe you put them on your ManaPage site and you say you can buy here. I don't tend to do that. I sign up everybody as an associate because I want them to get the best price, and I love my consumers in my downline. So I have a little bit of different attitude towards that, but I can understand what he's saying is you don't want to cheapen what you have to offer. What you have to offer is an incredible business opportunity, and make sure you value it that way. Because wholesale purchasing is a benefit and a privilege to have. It's not just something everybody can get. It's a benefit and a privilege that you can get, that you can acquire. So, and the other aspect that he says, and don't build downlines for people. Don't go out there and tell people, well, I'll build your downline for you. I mean, you know, again, what are you doing? You're robbing the person of motivating themselves. You're robbing them, and then they have an expectation. It's kind of like when I talk about the ICANN program. I said, don't be putting people under other people in the ICANN program. What you want, and only go by the structure. Because when you're on that team call and somebody can't get their one by the end of the month, there's to help support other people grow with themselves. They'll find people. I just had a great experience this last week. We had one gal who signed up in ICANN in January, and she had found, I think, one person in 6 months, and she was a little discouraged. And all of a sudden, three of the people that she had approached over the last 6 months all came on board in 1 week. Isn't that great? Who knew that that was going to happen? No one. We don't know when that's going to happen, but we know we approach people, we talk to them. When their timing is right, their timing is right. But don't give up. It's kind of, it gets back to that whole thing about the only people in networking that don't make it are those who give up, because there are always people that come back. And she never gave up in contact with those people. I mean, she didn't call them every day. You know, she dropped, but she dripped on them. There was a constant drip, constant meetings. We have meetings every, you know, a couple of meetings, two, three meetings a month in the area at the church and whatever. And it was just kept on inviting them to come or bring people or whatever. And sooner or later it happened. You know, these people came around. And one of them was this couple that was in Monavie. They're in Monavie for a few months. They had already, you know, when she approached them, they had already just started on that. And they said, we're going to give it a few months and see what happens. And you know what? Guess what? What happened? No results, so they want something different. And they didn't like the marketing plan. So always stick with it and support your people, and, you know, don't build their downlines for them. Work with them, support them, hang in there, be persistent, and watch what happens. But always stay positive. Invest your time and energy and expect a far greater return. And that's what you do. Always look at your future as a greater future and teach your associates to do the same things. So then there's action steps. So follow your action steps in your outline, and you'll see where are you lingering, and what kind of software are you buying into, and then how do you dispose of it? How am I going to get rid of it? And come up with mechanisms to do that. And there's many mechanisms. It doesn't, you know, somebody asked me one time, I'll never forget this. Excuse me. They said, well, Mary Jo, my husband is so negative. He's just negative all the time. Do I just dispose of him? I said, no. Your husband is not like a dirty dish rag or a piece of paper that you dispose of. These are people. They're important. They're invaluable in your life for many, many reasons. So you don't still dispose of them. But you come up with ways that you can work with them, and it doesn't impact you. So come up with techniques of how you get around that. You don't have to. I mean, there's ways of, you know, shutting down. There's ways of you shutting down and being ineffective, or you taking control of the situation and saying, I'm not going to let whatever he says shut me down. So when he gets into that way, we'll say, honey, I prefer not talking about this, and move on. Change the subject. Go to something that he likes to talk about. You can get angry that he doesn't like to talk to you about things you like, but you know what? That's a choice you can make. Would you rather have a wildly romantic, loving relationship, or would you rather be right about how he should behave versus how he's behaving? I mean, there's a lot to be said about understanding how to just move forward in your life and still have an incredible relationship. I can speak on this because I've had to do it, so it's not hard. I mean, it took me 3 years to get my husband to swallow a Manatech product. So, there, you know, spouses sometimes can be stubborn. It's not about us disposing of a spouse. It's about us learning how to work within that time, within that framework that keeps it very positive and on course and on track. You know, some people get, it's just, they go, well, but he's not going to talk about what I like about it. I'm not going to talk what he likes about it. Oh, that's good. That really, that's a solution. Not. I mean, so make everybody miserable. Okay. I believe in win-win. So I make every situation a win-win as much as possible, because that's the way we have the best possible attitudes. We stay positive. We stay moving forward. We stay with that heart of gratitude. Okay, so come up with your action steps on what your strategy is to dispose of the negativity or the negative software that you're surrounded with, and then how are you going to invest differently in yourself and in your people? Remember, if it costs nothing, it's probably worth nothing. So move forward and say, what can I do to invest in myself to make an invaluable shift that needs to so I can keep growing and grow in my beingness and keep that attitude and that pervasive attitude of gratitude going. Okay, secret 16, the next chapter is about master prospectors study and model the masters. And this is something we've talked about many times. In fact, I've done a whole Monday call on this factor alone about finding mentors in your life that you have. And of course, the foundation is why model the masters. Now, some people aren't going to model anyone no matter what because they are uneducable. They're uncoachable. They're untrainable. They just choose that they have to be right, and so all of a sudden, no one's going to teach me anything. Now, I can relate to that attitude because I had that attitude at one time in my life a long while back, but I was there. I mean, it was like I was stuck. And the most horrific part of that attitude is that now, why in the world would you want to live on this earth and choose never to grow? Why? Because it's more comfortable to stay stuck. I mean, there's always cost benefits to every choice that you make, so you can look at the benefits you get from it. You don't have to risk things. You can have all this stuff that you can align with. But the downside is that you're gonna stay in a state of ignorance, a state of unknown, a state of intolerance. Because you're always having to be right. You're not open to changes and differences and things out there. And I'm not talking to you about your spiritual context. Although I think that you should be open to listen to people, but you can believe that your spiritual walk is the right walk, but you still listen to people. Our concept here is about, things like how you raise a cat or it's the other things in life, how you do network marketing. Is there a right way and a wrong way to do that? There are a billion ways to do network marketing. And if you stay stuck, your way is the only way, my way or hit the highway, and you approach people that way, I will suggest you'll be very ineffective. It'll be very costly to you because the main reason is that each and every one of us are different personality types. We come from different parts of the quadrant, and everybody has a different, mechanism on how they approach the business. For some people, that the creating your futures is the only thing that works. For other people, core four is the only. For other people, I can is like perfect for them. I can tends to be a very supporter-driven model. It's great for supporters because it's about putting time and energy into what? Into supporting people. And not a lot of emphasis in having to have to go out and prospect 24/7 because you only need to find one a month. So people who are more promoter types, they might look at ICANN and think, and that's what happened with some of the presidentials. They said, whoa, what if I want to sign up 8 a month? And I had somebody in my own organization say that. They said, well, we sign up like 6 or 8 people a month. And I kind of smiled. I can look back at their last 12 months and they only signed up 20 people in 12 months and they're telling me they sign up 6 or 8 a month. And I go, well, you need to tell them what the truth is. They know the truth, but they want to argue that point. That's fine. But the reality is the average associate in Manatech signs up 2.8 associates on an annual basis. So ICANN is way excessive if you only have to do one a month, according to statistical average. So you start looking at that and saying what fits for you, what strategy out there works, and that's why we need to be open to many strategies. We need to be open to many differences. We need to be open to learn and grow. Started in Manatech, and you guys have heard this story over and over again. I've been on this call, but it's a great story that I spent my first 6 months just out there. I was a lawyer, and I had all incredible background and knowledge and education, and of course if I saw these people that had hardly, high school education, they were making it to presidential. And I said, if they can do it, I can do it. So I just went out to do it. And I signed up one person in my first 6 months. Well, I don't think that's doing it. It's not doing it very well. And that experience taught me a gigantic lesson. It taught me to humble myself immediately and step in and say, I'm going to learn from the masters. And the reason we model the masters is because they've been doing it for years. They've fine-tuned their approaches, their systems, whatever it is, and they've shown us the way. And one of my favorite masters out there is the guy who wrote the book we're reviewing right now, John Kalinch. He wrote another book called How to Be the Best You Can Be in MLM. And that book was a gem. And I still carry it. I still have it. It was my first book that I read after my six-month debacle and kickoff. And I said, I followed it like it was a blueprint, because that's what the book is. It's a blueprint of how to do network marketing. And it doesn't matter. You can choose ICANN or Fourcore or whatever system you choose to latch onto. It doesn't deny any of those. It's just basically the underlying, establish an underlying structure on how you do the business. And it's just a terrific book. But you need to, that's why we go after masters. We find the masters and we listen to them. I read Upline every single, you know, it comes out every 2 months. I read it every single time it comes out, cover to cover. I just, you know, some articles I browse, so it doesn't take me a long time. But it's important to be there and listen to them. And I go to all the ManaQuests and the Manifests and everything, and I go through the trainings and I listen to different people's trainings. I'm always open to hear what other people are doing, because I want to see how it applies to what I can do and what I can do better. So it's that's what we do. We want to work with people. And the other big Al Schreiter, some of you have heard of him. He's a major network marketer in the years past. In fact, he was behind Jet in the early stages of Jet's commitment to network marketing. But he would actually move in with people for 6 months and teach them all that they know. And I know some other presidentials in Manitech have done this. They've traveled into communities, and they'll actually live in somebody's house for a couple of weeks and do meetings while they're at work and support them at night and teach them and train them, and they'll really educate them from A to Z and help develop them into where they go. And that's how you build business builders. You can do that. You don't have to actually physically move in. I'm not suggesting that's the only way to conquer this, but it's the commitment you make. Because that's what you're doing for them. Once you become a master, you're sharing all of that and helping them learn to let them model after you. What does it look like for you? And, well, when we looked at Master Prospectors number six, the six, number six secret, and you can go back. I put C attached in the outline, but it's in the, you can look back in the ManaTrain website and get that if you don't have that outline. We talked about building rapport and the modeling and mirroring of your prospect's speech patterns, posture, eye movement, and breathing in order to create a sense of harmony. You can do the same. It's a similar process when you're working with your mentors or the masters that you work with. Like you go, let's say you go to ManaQuest this year. For those of you going, what you should do is you should dedicate your time to be spent with whom? You know, go to sit down at tables where you're hearing the masters talk. Look for those platinum presidentials and gold and silver and bronze presidentials and sit down, any of them, and sit down and just be with them. Spend time with them. Sit at their tables. Talk to them. You know, ask questions. Listen. And be open. Don't argue with them why they're wrong. Listen notes. Even if I disagree with the person, I'll write it down. And if I disagree with them, I won't come out and say I disagree with you. I'll just ask them, how did you come to that, you know, understanding? Or what made you feel that that was the right way versus this way? So I'll ask in a very, instead of attacking mode, ask in a very respectful mode. And you'll get far greater feedback than you will if you get defensive about it. So when you go to ManaQuest this year, that's what you want to do. Make a goal yourself. Say, I'm going to talk to 10 people who are presidentials, 10 different presidentials, and ask them different questions. I even did that on one of the cruises one time. I had all the people who won the cruise. They played the World Series of baseball, and it was an approach they had to take. They had to talk to 10 different people, 10 different presidentials, not 10 different presidentials, but 10 different associates, and they had to interview them and ask different questions. And they had to fill in the blanks and answer the questions. And it was just a blast. These people had a lot of fun, and they learned a lot by asking these questions. And it was just a fun game. We called it the World Series baseball on the ship. But the reason I did it is because I wanted to somehow get my people. I can preach and teach this to you about working with masters and mentors and working around the presidentials and finding out how they did it and listening to how they do it and what their strategies are. But I can't force you to do that. And this was a mechanism I could use to try to give them an incentive to do it, because I took them all out to dinner at one of those fancy restaurants on the boat, all of those who committed and actually did the World Series game. So it was just a lot of fun, a lot of joy with everybody. So you want to be in a position where you're always being able to listen to different, how they are, facial expressions, their words they use, the intonations of the things they say, and then start applying it for yourself. Pick up on little things and start applying it for you and see how it works for you. Add the things that work for you, because one thing you need to know, it's not about cloning. It's about trying the things you saw and adopting what works for you. So you make your choices around what's best for you. So every day you kind of get up and you say, it's kind of my approach to life. Every day, and it's actually an Eastern philosophy called Kaizen. Every day I wake up and I just say, Lord, first of all, I just am thankful that the Lord's given me another day, because I don't have any guarantee I'm going to wake up tomorrow. None of us do. So I'm always thankful to have another day, and then I just pray that this day breeds me into a direction that gives me newness, and I have new knowledge, and I increase my ability or my knowledge in one way or another some throughout that day. So I just become a little bit better each day. And if you take that, it's called Kaizen. It's an Eastern philosophy about just make, you don't have to have major changes. You don't have to, like, totally change your entire life overnight, because, number one, you can't do that. You'll change back so fast your head will be spinning. But you just make little changes, little bitty changes, just a little bit change. Every day, make a change. And keep track of all the changes you make. And just each day, what did I change today? What am I doing differently today? What did I learn? What has created the difference for me today? And you could do that if you can't figure out how to do it on your own, then you get books and tapes and you listen, you spend, dedicate, every day I'm going to dedicate an hour or half an hour to a book or a tape. And from that book or tape, I'm going to pick out one thing I'm going to start applying in my life. Because that's the hardest thing, and we've talked about this before also. The hardest thing for us is that a lot of you read tapes and read books and or listen to tapes and read books and go to seminars, but you never apply. And that's where you fall short. You don't want to just keep learning things all the time, because learning, you can have a head full of knowledge, but if you're not walking the walk, if you're not applying it, it's the same as people get heavily involved in scriptural teachings. I've got people that can quote a walk in their life. It's great that you become a biblical encyclopedia in your brain, but what is your walk? How are you living each day of your life? That's what's important, and that's what we need to recognize when we get all this education. We need to start applying. So how am I applying that in my life? So model the masters and then take on one thing at a time and apply it to your life and watch what happens. So it's just a little small change. You don't need big changes, just small changes. You can take on some big changes if you want to, but it's not necessary. It's just small changes, one at a time. And master prospectors are all mentors. You know, they get into mentoring relationships. So you just look for the people in your upline that are mentors, that will be mentors to you, and you find a mentor. Get a mentoring relationship. Every master prospector even has a mentoring relationship, because what they want is they want to have somebody they can bounce ideas off of. They can have some feedback. They can get. I love what I'm doing in ICANN today, because I have 10 other presidentials on this, you know, team ICANN that I get to mentor with. Anytime there's a change we want to do to ICANN, I've got a group of 10 presidentials. We have phone calls once a week where we just bounce ideas off each other. What a blessing that is. It's an incredible mentoring relationship. And I just honor them for that, because it would be hard. If I did it, I would do it all myself. And the net result of the ICANN documents is all came out of mentoring relationships. Lots of people contributing to one system. And that's what makes it so great, is that we've had numerous people that have committed to it that created the greatness that it is today. So, and you want to have more than one mentor. You can have a mentor in your Manatech business. You can have a mentor in your spiritual walk. You can have a mentor in your athletic, whether you're doing, for me, it's my workout. I have a personal trainer. He becomes a mentor to me in my working out, so I keep on track there. You can have a mentor in your diet, a nutrition mentor. You can have mentors in every aspect of your life. If you play bridge, you can have a mentor in your bridge game. You can have a mentor in whatever your hobby is. But take on mentors across the board, because that's what's going to support you in growing and becoming better. And the bottom line here is that self-mastery, about in taking those steps in the right directions to improve yourself in your Manatech business and in every aspect of your life. So self-mastery is never about being like someone else. I mean, you can have an image of somebody out there and say, wow, I want to be just like you when I grow up, right? I honor you because of this, this, and this. It's not about being just like somebody else. What it is about, it's about discovering and bringing out the best in you, which means you siphon through all the things you like, you apply what makes sense to you, and you build you. You work on you, because each one of us has different gifts, each one of us has different capabilities we have, and we all, you know, you can sit there and you can be critical of somebody of not having your gift or your ability, but that's not what the world's about. The world's about take what you can from that mentor, from that master, whatever it is, and start applying it in your life and creating a better you in the process. And that's the process we need to be in. And when does that process end? It only ends for me when I go to see my Heavenly Father. I will forever be in a process of self-improvement and self-mastery, forever, because there are so many things I can improve on. And every day I just, you know, when I see my daily results, I see all new areas of where I can improve. So it's just a matter of working towards those on a daily basis, and that never ends, because you never really arrive. Does that make sense? It should. If you feel like you've arrived, then I don't know what you're doing on this phone call, because you probably don't need this phone call. Anyway, so there's action steps to be taken, too, that outline from the book that you can follow up on if you feel like this is a chapter that moves you and creates a need for you. Then follow up on those action steps for that studying and modeling masters. How are you going to incorporate that in your life so that you can take better action and make better steps? All right, so that's it. That's the training for today. We actually got done a little early. Isn't that a gift? Anyway, any questions, answers? Any of this stuff meaningful for you? And do you see how you can apply it in your life? Any feedback from the group? Everybody's taking it all in right now, going, oh, Mary Jo, you hit upon an issue, or you did this, or...
Oh, Mary Jo.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
There's no Mary Jo. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's Marlene in St. Louis.
Hi,
I think
Marlene.
You're wonderful. Just your words, the enthusiasm in what you share with us.
Uh-huh.
I have mentors, and I didn't even realize that a couple of them were that way.
Right.
So you help me identify, and I will pursue them on what they help me with now.
Great. Great, great, great.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Great. Because now you can really kind of fine-tune what that relationship is about for you, right? Is that what you're
exactly.
doing?
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I was saying. Yeah, I can,
mm-hmm.
instead of kind of going to a couple different people, I can go back to that one person
mm-hmm.
and say, this is really what I need from you. I need your help.
Wonderful. And, you know, there's nothing people like more than to hear when somebody says, this is what I need, because we love to contribute to people.
Right, because
so,
I like to do it.
Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
You love doing it. See, it's called human nature. It's built
yeah.
in all of us. Now, some people are a little strangely wired. I'm not going to suggest they're going to be, you know, that you know, they're just their negativity has overwhelmed them for some reason in their life, so they may not want to contribute in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the majority of people in this country always have a heart of contribution. So if... And you're going to help them out by becoming more specific about what it is that you need from them. They will appreciate that as well, because
exactly.
that will help solidify the relationship.
No, unless I tell them.
Absolutely. They don't know what you're looking for. They can't read your – they're not mastermind readers, right?
Right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
We expect a lot out of people, but we forget to share what we need.
There you go. That's a good one, Marlene. That's a grill. That's incredible insight, and that's wonderful. If this call gave you that insight, this call has been absolutely invaluable to you, really.
It has.
It is, because it's
so
a huge
much.
Insight. Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
This is Jo. I got a very convicting email last night, and you really hit upon some other things that really make it more valuable to me.
Uh-huh.
And it was, this gentleman wrote a little note about your attitude, and he said, when people ask me how I am, I always say, gee, if I was any better, I'd be twins. And he had a very serious accident, And he said when he got to the triage unit, they all looked at him, and he thought he was going to die. They
uh-huh.
didn't have any hope. And he looked at him, and he said, look, don't treat me as though I'm going to die. Treat me as though I'm going to live.
Right.
And with that attitude, you know, and then my attitude needs adjustment quite a few times, because we all run into things that, you know, want to bring us today. It really hit a very good chord. And I know one thing. I've just got to get up every morning and say, I have a right to choose, and I choose to be happy, and I choose to look forward to the day, not negatively.
Right. You bet, Joe. That's exactly it. You have that choice. Each one of us has that choice. And you can't tell me you don't have the choice. You can, no matter how, you know, we have people out there with incredible circumstances, but you choose your attitude. You choose how you're going to approach that day. And that's so powerful. And we can just thank the Lord we have those choices. Every day we get to choose what our attitude is. Exactly. Great. Good. Aha. Okay, anyone else? You guys are all terrific. I love you all. So have a big choice this week of what? A great attitude. Go out there and conquer this world attitude. How am I going to make an investment in myself? How am I going to quit paying the price I'm paying for the negativity around me, and I'm going to start paying a price for incredible software. So I rewire that brain and stay on the positive realm, and then look at your mentoring relationships and really make an evaluation. If you have them, if you don't have them, then go out and find some, because they're terrific to have and a must if you want to really stay on track and growing. Okay, love you all. Have a great week in Manitech, and I'll talk to you next Monday. Mary Jo. Yeah.
How would I find out if where doctors are in Columbia, Dakota? How would I find out where doctors are in a city?
You mean doctors who are associated with Manitech products?
Uh-huh.
The best way to do it is find, typically it's going to be known by people who have been in Manitech for a long period of time. So that would be find upline presidentials. So get a hold of your upline presidential and get them to get a hold of other upline presidentials that have an organization in that area, and they will be the ones that carry that knowledge.
Okay.
No listing out there for them. I think Steve Plog put together a website at one time, but I'm not familiar if it's still in existence.
Okay, and another thing real fast, if you have time, I go to a wonderful church, but everybody seems to be that, you know, prayer is going to take care of all of this, and I'm just sort of floundering as to how to approach these people. You know, I don't want it to just be business, because I love these people that are my church family.
Sure.
But I'm thinking, how did you ever get started, and what kind of things did you just use
get
started with being able to give meetings at your church?
Yeah, well, let me tell you, it's been a long time. I've been in Manitech since doing the business since 99, and I started doing health seminars a year ago.
Okay.
So it's patience. I started it with the women's newsletter. They allowed me to do a health article in there about 3 or 4 years ago. And then we started doing health seminars, and they just love them. In fact, I did another one this last Saturday called Grocery Shopping, How to Avoid the Pitfalls. And it was, I start off with a religious foundation of stewardship of your body, so I built in all the scripture up front, and then I took people walk through the grocery store. We had a blast. I had groceries up on stage. I told them how to read labels. I told them what's the most important on labels. I mean, the amount of knowledge they got in 2.5 hours was off the charts. I mean, lots of handouts and all. But, you know, but it took, 9 years to get there? So
maybe like starting with an article of water.
There you go.
And
understand, every one of my articles in the women's newsletters, none of them cover glyconutrients. I'm out there educating people about health.
Okay.
And you can say, well, Mary Jo, I don't have that kind of knowledge to do that because I'm not a nurse or medical practice. People, I didn't even know what the endocrine system was 10 years ago.
Okay.
I knew nothing about the human body. Why? I was always totally healthy. So you don't tend to learn about things unless you have issues around that. I never had children. So even those of you, you can appreciate, a lot of times we have learn about the body and health because our children get sick. Well, I never gave birth to a child. So here I had this life where I was kind of, I was kind of like in this world of my own. I didn't even take any supplements. I mean, before Manatech, I was just living this perfect healthy lifestyle.
I know. I sit and I listen to, you know, like the prayer requests, cancer here, all these different things, and I'm sitting there, my heart is breaking.
I get it, and my heart breaks too. I read them every single Sunday. We have a prayer request list, and it's there. But you know what? Everybody in my church knows exactly what I do. I started off the process of doing, because we can't take, people didn't put their names on a prayer request for you to call them about nutritional supplements.
Oh, no,
okay?
No.
So we
and
never should breach that. We should never be tackling a prayer list. Secondly, how do I get to these people then? The most effective way is, number one, let the minister and his wife know what I do so that if people come to them and are looking for something, they can refer them to me. So I did that, okay?
Okay.
And I allowed them to know that I was in nutrition. I love alternatives. So if people come to you in prayer over health issues and they ask if they know of any other way to tackle it, they could say, well, you know, one of our church members is heavily involved in nutrition, and she just loves alternatives, and she can help you with a lot of different things, diet, exercise, supplements. So if you'd like to talk to her, she does this for free. And okay, so that's offered, all right? So the minister knows, because that's where a lot of those things come through, is the minister and the staff. So you make sure the staff knows it. Presentation like Christmas program or Easter program, they always allow you to pay $25 or $50 to put an ad in the bulletin, because they try to raise money that way to help offset the cost of the program. I would always, you know, pay whatever most expensive ad. I'd buy the whole back for $100. Wow, you know, who cares? I mean, I put an ad in. So people were seeing my name associated with nutrition, even if they never talked to the pastor or his wife.
Okay.
And that just grew and grew and grew. That, you know, and that's the way I did it. I know we don't. A lot of us don't have a lot of patience to do that. If you're waiting to grow your entire Manatech business from your church, I think that's a problem. My Manatech business grew notwithstanding what wasn't happening at my church. Today I have more church members involved than ever in the history. Okay, I mean, it's huge.
All right.
But it
Thank you so much. You're always so uplifting. I always look forward to your calls.
Great. Glad you're on the call. Okay, any other questions before we go? I think most people have left. All right, love you guys. Have a great week. Yep.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
The moderator has disconnected. The